This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is
baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than that. It's unthoughtless. Fact. Always good to talk to you.
Appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you.
Appreciate it.
You're like the... Whenever I have an executive on, they keep referencing your appearances.
Wow. Have you been on that many times?
No. A couple times.
I guess maybe they were... I don't even... Last time's got at least a year or two, right?
Yeah. But a couple times. Because they're so impactful and so great.
Appreciate it.
It has nothing to do with the fact that the ketchup flavored potato chip tie.
Well, you know what? Actually, speaking of that... We're here at Fenway South.
Yeah.
And walk into clubhouse, Chris Sale pitched today. And he's eating a personal pizza. And there's swirls of white all over it. I'm like, man, what is that? He goes, ranch. And I'd never done it before. Ranch on a pizza. Oh. So I thought it was a little odd. So he's like, dude, change your life. Been doing it since college. So he goes, ranch on everything is good. So I went, I took the plunge.
Did you do it?
Shockingly, it's good.
It's not shocking. Yeah. It's kind of like...
I like ranch on wings.
Yeah.
I'm not a blue cheese guy.
I feel like there's certain things that are irrefutable. Yeah. I think ranch, he's right. I mean, ranch on anything, I'm
going to
go
on a pizza,
with.
There's people... So the gentleman that was serving the pizzas and having them, yeah. I asked him, have you done this? He's like, I will not do that.
Oh, you won't?
He doesn't want to...
That's like a mayonnaise thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You
he
know?
Just wasn't doing it.
Yeah, he's... Yeah,
I said, you wouldn't even try it. He's like, no.
It's too close.
There's just no way. Under no circumstances.
I also have the very controversial take that mozzarella sticks are something that you can't screw up.
No, it's deep fried cheese.
It's deep fried cheese.
Easy.
Right.
Easy.
But... Yesterday, Mike Hazen came on the podcast, and this is how this came up, Alex, which was, I said, man, you have such a great team, you do such a great job, and he said, you say that to everyone, including Alex, after you tell him about your ketchup-flavored Doritos. That's what he said, ketchup-flavored Doritos.
A slap in the face
he can't, like,
for those Doritos lovers.
Oh, it's yeah. Can you just get it right? I mean, as I said to you, it was your, in synopsis, I don't want to spend too much time, but in synopsis, You are dug in on the ketchup flavored potato chips are a good thing.
That's the way to go.
I don't think I've found another executive that agrees with you.
Yeah.
I certainly don't agree with you.
That's right.
But listen, that's why you're a
unique.
Notch, that's why you're a notch
special.
Above. That's why you're a notch above.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here at the end of spring training, and I'm always fascinated about your sort of lot in life. Like now, it's like the rhythms of a decision maker, right? You have off season, you put together the team, you get to spring training. You're probably like talking trades, maybe a little bit, not really. When you
more
get
at more at the end of camp,
more
as guys
camp.
Are getting DFA'd, yeah, but and there's outs and stuff.
Oh yeah, but the DFA trades, but not like you don't see a lot of significant trades at the end of.
No, I won't really call around and. People might say, look, we've got depth in this area. We might do stuff. So GMs might start making the rounds a little bit and just some guys that might get squeezed off the roster. But rarely will you see significant players being talked about.
Will you? Is it because you said you don't want to be overreactive? Like, I think that Billy Beane had said this to Theo Epstein way back in the day when Theo was very young and said, listen, don't get you judge your team in May.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a simplistic way of thinking. Is it because of that, you think, or just because teams...
I just think, you think of the timing, right? There's always, as much as, you know, fan bases, ownership groups, your own clubhouse, you start trading guys away. Unless, look, there's very few teams that are openly in a rebuild right now. I think almost everyone is trying to get better, trying to win more games. So you think about taking... Most times when you're making a trade, it's... long-term control for shorter-term guys, things like that. You start taking someone off your big league team before the season even started. It's a tough sell. It's one thing to do it in the offseason. Hey, we're going to backfill, trade for someone else, sign a free agent and whatnot. You're doing that before the season starts. It's happened. But normally it would be with a rebuilding team. I wasn't here, but you know, Craig Kimbrell was traded just before spring training. But the Braves were openly in a rebuild. The White Sox last year trading Dylan Cease, openly in a rebuild. I think those are really the only scenarios that you're seeing something like that. So that's why you don't see too many deals come spring training.
Do you feel pretty good about things now?
No, I'll tell you this. The 2 years I felt really good about the team in spring were the 2 years that we just didn't get off to good starts. So I'm more worried, which is what I've been every other year.
Yeah.
And which I think is a good sign, right? Because you just, your job is to worry in these jobs. But and I remember going into 21, I thought, wow, we look unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then last year,
yeah.
And again, we still made the postseason, last year I felt, wow, this is the most complete team we've had going into spring training and coming out of spring training. And those two times, again, we won 89 games, made the postseason, but we scuffled, obviously. It was a grind for us to get back to the postseason. And look, in 21, first half of the year, it did not go well. Things came together late.
Yeah.
And obviously got hot in the playoffs and all that. But no, I feel the same as I have in other springs. You're worried about different parts of the team. You're constantly worried about your depth, right? So, yeah, if everyone's healthy, you like the roster, all 29 other GMs will tell you the same thing. You start worrying about if this guy goes down, if this guy doesn't perform, what's your next layer of depth? So we know we got a long way to go. And you probably can't do much. You could do something at the end of spring. Probably be a wave of players, DFA'd and out clauses and all that. Then you probably can't do anything until the end of July. So it's you've got a four-month period. You got to wear it pretty much to try to help your team, which is a long time.
So there's a lot of things, like including like you get to this point and you're coming up on out clauses, right? Like because you want depth. Like this is the thing. You want depth and you get these non-roster guys for the depth.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, man, you had a really good spring training. But, hey, will you stick around a little bit longer? I mean, that's must be a weird conversation.
Yeah, look, it's tough. And I think it depends where players are at in their career, right? Mm-hmm. Our view is, look, some contractually just have it in there, right? So they have an out clause. Some other guys might not. But, you know, maybe they're 34 years old, 35 years old, and they're 9 years of service. They're trying to get to 10. We're not going to stop people from having an opportunity to go other places. And, you know, I'll give you an example. We had Jordan Luplow in camp last year. He was coming in to compete as a platoon bat. And we signed Adam Duvall late, I think March 17th. Mm-hmm. That wasn't in the cards. That wasn't part of the plan. His opportunity was taken away entirely. Duvall was given a guaranteed deal. He was on the team. So pulled Jordan in and said, look, you know, we'll give you the right. You want to go somewhere else? You know, you came here with the thought to make this team. We've taken that away because Duvall was available late. Mm. And we let him, you know, go find a better opportunity. He signed with the Phillies. Tough to see him go to the division, but in the long run, it's the right thing to do by the player. Mm-hmm. You know, so look, other guys with options and so on, that's different because, look, the out-of-option guy that is staying with you,
yeah,
he lived through 3 years of being optioned, right?
Right.
So the guy with options left hasn't gone through it. So you have to see, you know, but the guy went through the roller coaster a little more. So it's not easy, especially if guys have really good springs. But you're just trying to use common sense, trying to be honest. And it's not easy, and it's tough because players are worried about their careers as they should be,
right?
I'm worried about being.
It's an anxious time this time. Like this.
Yeah.
It's tough. As you know, spring training is everyone's happy. We're doing golf tournaments. We're doing all this stuff. And but you get to the last week, you see guys walking around. They're on their phones.
Yeah.
You know, they're worried about. Oh man, I really got to do well in the spring training game. Stuff like that. So.
Well, look, I'll tell you. Like I know every day. Look, you're done early. You're going home. You're climbing the walls. I'm sure. Look, I don't know what it's like to be a player, but I'm sure you're getting phone calls, friends, family, this and that. Now we think a lot about. The fact that if we can tell people sooner than later, we try. Mm. But where am I going to live? What about my car? Family? Like, you hate taking it down to the wire. If you have to, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But look, all that said, the roster's only a roster for opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's this big moment. Like, you see.
People, again, opening day is
right,
so bizarre to
but
me.
But 2 days into it, yeah. It could change.
Yeah.
Right? Or you make the team, all of a sudden, someone's DFA'd, someone's available, things can change. So. Even though you make the opening day roster, it's a tentative thing,
yeah.
Right? And that's tough, too. So you don't want to burst anyone's bubble. Hey, you made it, unless we get someone from outside the organization.
Yeah.
So I think you're ultimately saying, of the people in camp, we're going with you.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop a transaction from happening and so on. And that's challenging. So like you said, there's no easy way to do it. And it's just the reality of it.
So this is where I build you up. Congratulations.
Tear me down.
No, I'm not building. No, it's not like one right. of these like talk show calls. I like you personally, but no, this is I'm building you up. And because I've gone on different places and asked about the dynamic of the National League. The National League's are really interesting. You obviously have the Alpha, right? The Dodgers. Okay, we know the Dodgers.
The Phillies.
By the way, this is your time, you can commit. If you want to get a baseballs and boring tattoo, if you win it all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah.
You can never change the name of the podcast now.
No.
It's over.
No, that
was nice. I was walking through our clubhouse. There's a trash can right there. And I see a baseball is important sticker. What do? You walk around and just slap it on there wherever clubhouse you're on. Like, hey,
kind of
the advertising.
It's Chris Sale. Chris Sale told me today after he came out of the game. His last thing he said to me, hey, I just want to let you know, I have the baseballs and boring sticker in your locker. And
he
said,
but
at the same time, he said, it's not for you, it's for Joe and Joe Kelly, which is really fine. So anyway, you know, when I go on and I say, you know, we talk about the National League, and I say, listen, the Braves are there, man, like, because the team that you built, and yes, you got hurt. But the team that you built, let's not forget about what we were talking about a year ago, about this is the reason you gave all the extensions, and this is the reason why you made this clubhouse. This is the reason why we were saying this, that this team is built up for success for years upon years upon years. And I think that some people maybe forgot that just because of the injuries.
Yeah, we had
right?
a lot of guys. Yeah.
Right, a lot of guys. But still, you're getting those guys back. And when you get those guys back, it feels like, boom, everyone's going to wake up and say, hey, wait a second. Like, this is the team that we thought was among the best in baseball. I mean, what I'm saying is that I just think that you guys are really well positioned, but to your point, opening day isn't everything.
No.
Yeah.
And the roster's going to change a million times over. Look, the NL is just a beast across the board. Six teams made the postseason last year. There's a bunch of other teams that didn't make it, like Dimebacks, that were right there. And teams that have gotten better this offseason. Cubs, Reds, Giants, Diamondbacks. Just, you know, then there's obviously the Nationals are better. The Marlins, I thought, really were pretty athletic. And I thought they're really growing. And they were, I was just impressed with overall just the roster turnover and so on. And there's only six spots, and there's all these really great teams.
Really
so
good teams.
I don't think it's getting any easier. But look, having stability, having continuity, and it's tough. We've lost players each year to free agency, you sign guys to extensions. I've always said there's only so much pie to go around, right? You can't sign all of them.
You did your best.
Yeah, you try to keep, but, you know, and it's, you like having some stability. Yeah. I think it's important for the fan base, for the club us as well. But, you know, you feel like you continue to take shots where you're losing talent every year, and you try to, and that's a credit to our manager, the players that we still have. And it's tough to lose those guys. We lost mainstays, pillars of our organization, but, you know, that's unfortunately, it's sports, right? To try to keep the thing going, stay competitive. We're trying not to have a peak where we made the postseason, won a World Series, and then we have to go into a rebuild again and then come back out of it. Ideally, we could try to keep this thing going. So with that comes tough calls while everyone around you continues to get better. So these clubs are so well run.
But they have to get better because of you. Like, they have to get better because of the Dodgers.
And the Mets and the Phillies, right, and the Dodgers. And it's just, it's professional sports, right? Everyone's really smart. Everyone's really good. And year to year, things can change quickly. You know, you see it in other sports. Mm. San Francisco 49ers are in the Super Bowl. You know, and then all of a sudden the next year, you know, they miss the postseason, guys are injured and so on. One of the best coaches and best GMs in the league, but all of a sudden a year later the world's changed, which I don't agree with.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you, you better be on your game every year in sports. You don't get to carry over any equity at all. It's like Phil Jackson said in The Last Dance, said Tex Winter said, you know, once you have success, you're success only in that moment.
Yeah.
And you got to do it all over again.
Yeah.
And you think about it, you win the World Series, all that's great, and then you get to the offseason and no one cares, right? It's, you're starting all over again.
So conversely, when you go to the offseason this year, you made some moves, but like the shock and awe moves you didn't necessarily make,
right?
It was that a byproduct of that, exactly what I said? Said, hey, listen, it's nice to add, like, get attention for making these shock and awe moves, but let's not forget what we already have, and let's not forget who we have coming back. I know that I'm simplifying things, but is that sort of...
No, I think it's just because we extended so many guys. Yeah. We've got a lot of guys that we make commitments to, right? So we're not, you know, Strider's coming back, we're going to have a rotation spot for him. Acuna's coming back, we're going to have right field for him. Then you start going through the extensions, right? Sean Murphy, then we have Baldwin, our top prospect, at that position. Matt Olson signed, Ozzie Albies signed, Austin Riley signed, Michael Harris is signed, Marcelo Zuna signed. So you start looking at it, and there's not a lot of position... There's not a lot of spots from a position player standpoint.
Yeah.
In the bullpen, of course, that's always going to be volatile and change from year to year. And then in the rotation, Strider comes back, Sale's under contract, Strider's under contract, Lopez is under contract. That's 4 out of 5 spots.
Yeah.
So you got one spot left, and I understand guys are going to get hurt.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment. All so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So on, but we're not going to go sign 7 starters to guarantee deals. Then you have an issue. So you're trying to have depth with young guys and so on, but there was only so many moves to make.
But that's what I mean.
Right. Well, and at the same time, we've made commitments. Right. And guys, we want guys to make more money and their salaries to grow. Yeah. That means that they're doing well, right? So a lot of these extensions, these guys were young and now they're getting to hire. So you have to make decisions and make it all fit. And you're trying to have a deep team, a deep roster. So Now we have guys making 20, 22 million. 10 guys, it's 200 million bucks.
Yeah.
Right? And we're in that range
and
in the low 200s.
I think you picked the right guy. That's the biggest thing. You just got to pick the right guys.
Look,
right?
And there's guys that left that we would have loved to have kept.
Yeah.
Right? And for whatever reason, we weren't able to get a deal done, and they've gone on to get great deals that they earned. Right? So you're happy. It's tough to lose those guys, but you realize if they're doing that much better, it's because they've helped you win a ton of games. Mm. So you don't want guys getting injured, guys to be non-tendered. That's not helping you. So, you know, the better off the players are doing, that means the better the club's doing. Mm.
So when you go through the offseason and you see, you don't have FOMO, like, you, because you have your guys.
I do.
Do you?
Big time.
Do you like, well,
and every GM in every sport does. We follow box scores. We look back. You question yourself, should we have signed this guy? Should we have traded for this guy? I guarantee you every GM in sports
so
is doing
so there's two
that.
Things, right?
You're doing your job.
Right. And also, like, we had John Daniels on. He was talking about how, you know, one of the lessons he learned early was if you got to act quick, right? Like, you talk about trade.
A gazillion percent.
Right? And
timing
so,
is
all right,
huge.
So I'm going to ask you, he gave a great example. He gave this awesome example from early on. It was actually the Josh Beckett-Mike Lowell trade. This is going way back, right? And he waited a day.
Oh, yeah.
Waited a day. Do you have anything like that?
Nothing that comes to mind where I lost a deal because of timing, but I do believe, which is tough because you can make mistakes and it's scary, right? Like media, fan base. I always tell people, you're working at some other job, you make a mistake, no one knows. Everybody sees your stuff every day. People say, oh, you can look back at someone's scouting reports. Well, our scouting reports are out there every day with the decisions you make, right? You send someone down, you sign someone, you trade it for someone, you're out there. But being decisive, I think, is incredibly important. And it's tough because these are big decisions. They're impactful decisions. And things can change literally from day to day, especially in season.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think a game changes things, but it's human nature. I don't think people admit it, but you're about to trade so-and-so, or someone's about to trade so-and-so, and they have a great game or a bad game. You want to think you shouldn't be relying on a one-game sample size, right? But it's human nature. It might create doubt, things like that. All of a sudden, someone starts playing better. So I think timing's important. And look, the off season is so busy. 30 clubs are trying to do stuff. We're all talking. Everyone's trying to make trades or sign players. And once you make one decision, it'll close off a bunch of avenues, right?
Yeah.
I'm trading this prospect. That means he can't be in those other four deals. I'm spending X amount of my off-season dollars on this player. That means I'm now out on those players. So that's why, I mean, for us, we're normally aggressive early in the offseason.
Yeah.
We just try to be decisive. That doesn't mean we make the right decisions. But, sometimes the deal isn't there.
But you have to be. The point is you have to be aggressive. Like, that's the thing.
As long as you're making the right decisions, right? So, look, we didn't make a big signing until Pro Four, and that was late in the winter.
Yeah.
You know? And it just worked out that way. But we liked Jurix in Pro Four, but that deal wasn't on the table early in the winter. We were looking at other things, pursuing other things. And then at some point, we decided to wait, exhaust all the other things, and we went down that path. But now, if you sat down and asked everybody all the different paths you could have gone in the off season, you could have done a bullpen guy, could have done a starter, could have done a position player, could have done a trade. There's just a lot of paths everyone can take, and you won't know until 6 months later if you made the right call.
So our good friend JP came on, and he cited something that he said he told Billy Beane. I said Billy Beane told him, but whatever.
Right.
Which is focus more on the guy you're getting instead of the guys you're giving up. It's a very simplistic way of looking at it. But I like the idea of it, because here's the thing, Alex. I think that there's too many decision makers right now who are worrying about getting burned, a winning trade 80 by 80%, whatever it is, getting the 5-for-1 so you get the 5 guys to cover yourself. Again, not all of them.
Yep.
But I'm saying, like, I like the idea of focus on the guy that you're getting.
Yes. I mean, look, I think every club is different, right? Where are you at from a payroll standpoint? What's your system like? How much control you're trying to maintain? Everybody, every press conference is sustainable success. Every sport, right? GM gets up there, you know, he gets hired. People talk about championships plural, which I think it's jumping the gun. Winning one's already hard enough, right?
Yeah.
Most people don't even get a chance to do it, and a lot of things need to break right for that to happen. And people are saying we're looking to win championships plural. That's tough. We want to sustain success. sure, you can. I don't. Yes, it sounds like a simplistic way to do it. I think Kenny Williams to me said something that was eye-opening. I was a young GM, and his thing was, don't trade the Sports Center guys. You know? And it's pretty sound, simple advice.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, like, there's always trades. And look, if a guy's about to be a free agent and he's going to leave, your alternative is potentially getting a draft pick, or, you know, or you have 2 years of club control, you can't sign him. Or you have, so I think you do have to be aware of what you're trading away. It doesn't mean you shouldn't make the deal.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could just ignore, because, look, we could talk about all kinds of young players that got traded that, look, all these guys on the big league field.
Yeah.
Other than the guys coming from Japan.
Yeah.
Or Cuba at times. Played in the minor leagues at one point, right? They were prospects at one point, right? So, yes, the majority of prospects don't pan out and so on. But all these stars were prospects once, right? So, know who you're trading. You're going to have to give up good players, certainly. Billy Beane did tell me all the time, I've traded plenty of good players. And you can't be afraid to trade good players.
I guess that's where I'm
going. I agree with it.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think you just ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, look, we had plenty of opportunities to trade. Look, I can say this now, but, you know, because Mike Hill's in the commissioner's office. But we wanted Yelich.
Yeah.
And Acuna had to be part of the deal. There's just no deal without him, you know? So Christian Yelich had 5 years of club control, great player. Acuna's this great prospect, hadn't touched the major leagues yet. You could say, look, that's an established guy, 5 years of control. But we weren't just, we're going to ignore who we have. I mean, this guy's got a chance to be really good, and he might not be. But we made the decision not to do it. Not that Christian Yelich would have won an MVP.
But
it was awesome.
But that's what it comes back to. Identifying. This is...
Right. And you're not always right.
No, I know you're not. But you have to be convicted in the guys that you're identifying. I mean, there's a lot of goes.
And there's certain times, like, you know, the Cubs trading for Chapman.
Yeah.
Gleyber Torres, like, I think Theo Epstein said at the time, if not now, when are we going to do this? Like, this team's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know? And we owe it. So, look, there's times you make a tough call and so on, but because your roster's that good, and you can't guarantee a year from now, 2 years, 3 years from now, that all these guys are healthy, all these guys are having great years, the division, the competition, and there's no guarantees you win in the postseason, but you want to give yourself that chance. But, look, as far as I'm concerned, that's the biggest struggle you have in these jobs is short-term and long-term, because there's just no guarantees in the postseason. The Dodgers won 111 games, got eliminated in the first round. Last year, great team, arguably not as good as the 111, won the World Series.
Yeah.
And Bobby Cox will tell you, the Braves team that won the World Series wasn't the best team that he had. You know, the 1995 Braves were great, they won. But there's other years, so you just can't guarantee when you get to the postseason. So you really got to weigh the long-term piece you're giving up and so on. And so I get it. I do think you have to consider what you're
that's
trading
well
away.
Put. Yeah, no, it's well put.
To be fair.
No. So, in other words, you're saying JP was full of who we know.
No, because I will
joking,
say this, though.
I'm joking.
But I'll say this.
Yeah.
JP made a lot of great trades.
Yeah.
He was aggressive. He was not afraid.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the way the playoffs are now, I've never gone back to do the math, but, you know, it the AL East back then was ridiculous.
Yeah.
With Manny and Ortiz and everybody else. And if you look at six teams make the postseason right now, again, I haven't looked, but I bet you he would have made the playoffs multiple times. And, you know, Roy Halladay extended there twice, I think.
Yeah.
With JP as the GM. Signed some big time free agents in Burnett and Ryan and so on. And they had a lot of limitations from a payroll standpoint as well. But in this climate with the expanded postseason,
I think
they would have been a playoff team many times over. And then just the impact of that, the money you're generating, the revenues and so on, this payroll climbing, everything could change.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
You know, JP's top of my mountain.
Sure.
So I just wanted to throw him in there. Anyway, last thing. Another GM came on here, Brandon Gomes, and said, you know, our goal is to not have to do anything at the trade deadline.
Brilliant.
Right?
Look, I remember a couple of years ago, we talked about how with the expanded playoffs, there's just fewer sellers and a lot of buyers. And it's tough. There's just not that many players
available.
Is it
harder, more difficult than ever at the deadline?
Yeah, just because more teams, now you think about it, right? It was five playoff teams before, so how many teams outside the five believe they have a shot. Now you go to six, so you've added one more. How many more teams does that expand to that now have a shot? So, look, you've had some great stories, right, that have the sixth seed in the NL back-to-back years made the World Series.
Right.
2022, the Phillies were the last seed, made the World Series. 2023, the Diamondbacks are the last seed, made the World Series. That's powerful for your fan base, for your clubhouse, when you have a shot. I mean, we were under 500 2021. Oh, now, the division, our run differential, and so on, pointed to that we should make a run at this thing. So, look, which I think is great for the game, because you have a lot more meaningful games come September. So, it's great for the game. It's really challenging from a front office standpoint, because there's just not that much available.
Yeah.
So many teams are contending. So, I wonder if you're going to see more major league for major league deals. But, I think what the Dodgers did, if you can, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Because you can't bank on having a bunch of players available to you come the trade deadline with all these other teams. There might be a lot of teams that say, we're not selling.
Right. Well put. I appreciate your time.
Of course.
Very generous with your time.
Always.
Even despite your awful take. All right.